Okay, so our learning today is the Ilu Nishmas. So, Yaakov Yisrael, I got that wrong. Akiva ben Yisrael Ber, Joe Judenberg. So that's how, who, we've been dedicating our Sunday morning Shurim Ilu Nishmasai. Very quickly on the Parsha. Obviously this week's Parsha focused on Mishpatim, focused on rules. The bulk of Chayshim Mishpat was found in this week's Parsha, but there's an emphasis clearly in Chazal to connect Mishpatim to Matan Torah. Rashi says Ve'ela, just like this was also said at Sinai, it's connected to Har Sinai. It's actually sandwiched between two stories of Har Sinai. Parshas Yisro was Matan Torah, and the end of Parshas Mishpatim is a part of Har Kabbalat Torah, and in between is Mishpatim. What's the connection? So I think the answer is that at Har Sinai, it's often overlooked, but very essential. Because one of the things that made Har Sinai special was not just the fact that we got the Torah, but it was the fact that the Jewish people were very unified. It was Achdus and Klal Yisro. When there was the when we had Kabbalah Satera. The rules of Mishpat, if you go through the parsha, you'll notice that the Torah is always discussing the less fortunate person. Right? We open up with the Eved Ivri and we talk about him and his getting him back into society. And throughout the Mishpatim, it's always a reminder of the what I call the forgotten person. Right? We have an Isser not to cause pain to Amon and V'Yusayim. Right? These are the people that often get lost in the shuffle. They don't get valued. They're not always put on the highest level of society. But the Torah reminds us that every Jew is important and every person is important. And that's why every person that you damage, you have to pay. Your animal damaged someone, you have to pay. Your property, you have to pay, because every person's important and their property is important. For that reason, we have to value every single person, even those that we often forget about. I think that's one of the lessons, and that's very much connected to Kabbalah Soter, because at Kabbalah Soter, we realize that we're unified. If we're all unified, that means every person counts and every person is essential. They say an amazing story. I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, the Reb David Feinstein book that everyone should get. There they say an amazing story about Reb Feinstein that he was already in his 90s. It was March of 2020. Everyone remembers March of 2020. That was right before COVID hit. So he asked his driver to drive him 4 hours. Took a 4-hour road trip one way to visit a prisoner in jail, a prisoner he did not know. Not only that, he had to leave so early. He had to daven b'chidus in the car. Talking about Rosh Hashiva in his 90s. And he drove 4 hours each way to visit a prisoner he never met. But he read about him and he heard that this prisoner, after something happened, that his family doesn't even visit him. So Reb David said, a guy who has no visitors, he has no hope. He's gonna die. I have to go visit him. So he got in the car, drove 4 hours each way to visit a person he did not know. And this was the last visitor anyone got, because right then they closed down everything. So who knows what happened with this guy? Mamish could have really lost his mind, but Reb David Feinstein went to visit him. And then someone came to Reb David Feinstein, a Talmud of his, wanted to start a campaign to help prisoners in jails. Nebuch, there are a lot of Jewish prisoners in jails. Reb David Feinstein told him a great line. He told him, listen, you're going to get met with a lot of pushback and a lot of people are going to be upset with you. But if you do this, this is your ticket to Olam Haba. So he told him, this is going to be your ticket to Olam Haba. If you can help people, again, these are the forgotten people. You know, there's a lot of forgotten people in our society, not only people in jail, but people in the community that are forgotten sometimes, financially, emotionally, things like that. So I think that's really the idea, that we have to remember every person is important. And that's really Pshat and Parashat Shkolim. It's a very difficult medrash. Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, what's going to be, how are people going to remember me after I die? Which sounds like a very funny question for Moshe Rabbeinu to ask. But Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, what's going to be after I die? Hashem said, don't worry. Every year we read Parashat Shkolim, it's going to be like you're here with the Jewish people. The question is, Moshe Rabbeinu is worried about a legacy. And we're worried about legacies. We're worried, what are they going to say about us when we're gone? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't worried. Moshe Rabbeinu was worried like this. He was afraid that the unity of Klal Yisrael was going to break after he dies. Moshe Rabbeinu held us all together. Under his Torah, we all knew that we all count. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's going to be after I leave? So Hashem said, once a year we read Parashat Shkolim. Parashat Shkolim, the Alshach explains, is the lesson that everyone counts, right? Because everyone gets one half. You can't give more, you can't give less. And each person makes a hope. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, now I feel better. Now I feel that there's at least once a year the Jewish people will be reminded that they have to be unified and they will become unified. And that's Pshat in Masechet HaSeifim. The difficult Masechet HaSeifim. Masechet HaSeifim says, why do we read Parashat Shkolim before Adar? Because we want to give our Shkolim before the Shkolim that Haman gave to Achashverosh. Right, we know Achashverosh wanted to, Haman bought off the rights to kill the Jewish people with Shkolim. So we give our Shkolim before that. The question is, what's the connection? So there's a very famous Manas Levi. Manas Levi was Reb Shlomo Alkibitz, the one who wrote the Chadoidi. That's what everyone knows him for. Right, he was really brother-in-law with the Moshe Cordovero, another great Kabbalist at that time. But he wrote a great sefer called the Manas Levi. Well, about giving shalach manas instead of food. That's the name of the sefer. But it's a great sefer. If you're going to learn the Megillah, I urge you to read it with the Manas Levi's commentary. So he writes over there that it says in the Megillah that Haman tells Achashverosh the Jewish people are an am mefuzar mefurad. So Pashup Shah, you learn the Megillah, it means that they're spread out. It won't be noticeable if you kill them out. He says, no, there was period. There was not unity during the story of Megillah. We all think the Purim story, that's when there was unity. Chanukah, we know there was fight. Purim, everyone was together. Not so. There was fights during the Purim story also. So therefore, that's the pshat. We want to give our shkum to remind ourselves that we're all part of a half. We all need each other to unify ourselves now before we get into the Purim story. Because the whole Purim story came about because there was a lack of unity. So that's why we read Parashat Shkolim before we get to the story of the Megillah, because we want to beat off that Shkolim that happened back then. Okay, a lot more to talk about Parashat Shkolim, a lot of interesting things, but we've dealt with different halachic shurim about Parashat Shkolim in the past. You take a listen online. Okay, we left off, we're on page 2, because it was from last week that we didn't cover. We were in the middle of a discussion. We were introduced last week to Ben Azai. Ben Azai had an interesting approach to life. Ben Azai said that I can't get married because Nafshi Choshka B'Teira and Puravu will be from everyone else. That's what the Gemara told us in Yevamos. And we were discussing a little bit last week, what was the Taina of Ben Azai? Did he have a legitimate Taina? Now I just want to spend a little just to clarify things, what Ben Azai's story was. So there's a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita number 13 tells us there was a Shaila in the Gemara about how long is the Shir Yichud. How long does it take the time, not Shir HaYichud that we sing, the Shir, the amount of time for Yichud, for being alone with someone. So the Gemara says it depends how long it takes to have Tashmish. So the Gemara says each Rebbe will give his own Shir based on his personal experience. So the Gemara had a kash in the second line, number 13, V'eka Ben Azai Delay Nasiv. How could Ben Azai rule on such a matter? He never got married. We always said Ben Azai never got married. So the Gemara says, no, you say Menasiv Upirish. No, it's not true. Ben Azai did get married. He got married and he got divorced. That's one teretz. The second teretz of the Gemara was Meirab Shmuel. Enochram, you're right. Ben Azai does not know from personal experience how long it would take to have married relations, but he had a tradition from his Rebbe. The same way he got a tradition from everything else from his Rebbe, he got a tradition from this also. So what do we see in our Gemara here in Saita? We see that there's two teretz from the Gemara. According to the first teretz of the Gemara, he got married. Now, I like this teretz personally because that means that Ben Azai didn't just say, I'm sorry, I can't get married because I know it's going to take me. He tried. He's mamash an oinus. Like we saw last week, one of the Rishonim say he was an oinus. Why was he an oinus? Because he tried. He said, I just can't do it. It's not working for me. I tried getting married and it just doesn't go. Now, who did he get married to that didn't go with? Look, you know, who was his shidduch? So look at the Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas tells us the famous story in the beginning of the Yom on Tzamach Gimel. The Gemara over there tells us the story of Reb Akiva, right? Everyone knows Reb Akiva went away and then he came back. And his wife said he could have gone away for even longer, right? So everyone knows the famous Gemara. Everyone knows the famous word in the Gemara, right? So the kash is, why couldn't Reb Akiva just come in and tell his wife hello, how's it going, and then go back? So they say over from Chaim Shmuel Levitz, because 12 and 12 is not 24. Meaning if he would have interrupted, if he would have stopped and came home and then gone back to yeshiva, he wouldn't have 24 years of consecutive study. Others disagree. They say, Avadi, he came home and he said hello to his wife and they had supper. And then he went back. Doesn't say in the Gemara he didn't. It says he just went back. Doesn't say he didn't take a break. But in any case, that Gemara is on the top of Ksumas Sabach Gimel. The Gemara then tells us, Barte de Reb Akiva, the daughter of Reb Akiva, Ovid Leila Ben Azai Hochi. She did the same thing for Ben Azai. Same story. Ben Azai went away for 12 years. Then he came back and Ben Azai must have overheard his wife, the daughter of Reb Akiva, say, oh, I wish he'd go back. And he turned around and went back. So the same story that everyone tells over, and everyone calls it Reb Akiva's story. She called the Ben Azai story. Okay, we're on page 2. You know, double side?
Yeah.
Okay, page 2, source 14 is Gemara in Ksubas. So the Gemara in Ksubas says that the same story that we all know of with the daughter of with Reb Akiva and his wife happened with Ben Azai's wife. And who was Ben Azai's wife? Reb Akiva's daughter.
So
Frank Taisvis in Ksubas over there. Bim Taim Avah, Parakama, the Saita Parech, Va'ika Ben Azai de Nosiv. Frank Taisvis, 1 second. We have a Gemara in Ksubas that says very clearly that Ben Azai got married. Not only did he get married, he got a shame of shidduch. He married Reb Akiva's daughter. It's a pretty good shidduch. So Frek Taisvis and Ksubas, so why does the Gemara say in Saita that Ben Azai didn't get married? I think Gemara here in Ksubas says he got married. So says Taisvis, well, this Gemara in Ksubas works out very nicely with the first teretz of the Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita, two teretz. One teretz was he got married. One teretz was he never got married. Then we have a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas says very clearly that Ben Azai got married. He was married. It doesn't say anything about kids. It says he was married to the daughter of Reb Akiva. So says Taisus, Enechlami, this Gemara in Ksubas only works out with the first teretz of the Gemara over there. Then Taisus says, the Yeshloimar, the Afagav to come Rahocha, the Ovdi Hochle Ben Azai, the Komokam Loinasa Elabe Erisim. Taisus comes up with a Nupshat. Maybe they only had the level of Erisim. Meaning it says that the Ben Azai never got married means he never had Nisuin, which means if he never had Nisuin, he never had marital relations, which explains why he didn't know what the shear for marital relations is. That I don't think he was Mekadosh Bebiah. So the assumption was he only had Erisin, and therefore he had no exposure to Bia. He never had children, but Avada Ben Azai got married. Now you can clarify Shnikol Shaila, would that be considered as Mekadosh the mitzvah of marriage if he only had Erisin? Chayre not.
That wouldn't help him, us with figuring out what the
right exactly. That's why he works with the Gemara and say it doesn't help to figure that out. But no. We're trying to make these two Gemaras work. One Gemara said that Ben Aza again. The Lashon Gemara says the Gemara says Va'ika Ben Aza Deloy Nosif. So we normally translate Nosif to get married.
But wasn't the Gemara coming?
Yes. The Gemara, the Shir, Shabir. So the Teretz is Ein Achrami. He didn't know this year. That works out nicely. Hitaka didn't know this year. Not because he didn't get married, but because he never got to that stage of marriage. He never got to the Nisun.
Yeah, well, so why does the Gemara give you an answer?
No. The Gemara's two Teretz. The first Teretz of the Gemara was he got married. The second Teretz was he didn't get married. Says Tyson, no, it doesn't mean he didn't get married at all. It means he didn't get married to the stage of marriage that allows you to have relations. But he did the first stage of marriage. And that's what the story says, that Ben Azai was married to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, and meant they were married on an Eris and love. Now, you could clarify, would that be a Kima mitzvah? No. I mean, if you hold Kedushin's a mitzvah, would you get the check for just having Eris?
Is it a mitzvah?
It's not even a
mitzvah. But in our sugya, we keep on presenting it as a mitzvah, because we talk about, oh, you think we're mitzvah, part of it, right? We keep on looking at marriage as some form of something. Again, if it's a Heksha mitzvah, then you get nothing, because you didn't go far enough. All you did was have your starting process, but you didn't go all the way. Let's say Nebuchadnezzar does Eris and then he dies. Would he get a schar and oilam haba for doing mitzvah's kedushin? That's not enough. He didn't do the whole mitzvah. The mitzvah is two parts, eris and anisun.
But why does the person marrying them make the bracha? Isn't the people getting married?
Yes. It used to be the practice, but very often the people getting married didn't know how to read. And they got very awkward and embarrassing. So they just made it universal that the Masada does. Yep, that's the way it used to be. The bracha is, the Birchas Eirusin is a little bit more tricky. Because the Birchas Eirusin is not so pashut what type of bracha it is. You're right. If it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, then I should be saying it. If it's a Birchas HaShevach, if it's just praise, then anyone could say it. So that's a big hakira, and what the nature of Birchas Eirusin is. That would be the nafkmina. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the famous joke is, right, the Masada says, repeat after me, Harayat. So he says, repeat after me, Harayat. Wherever the Masada says, he repeats. But this is an interesting Taisvus. Now, there's another Taisvus in Yevamah's Daf Samach Gimel, where Taisvus comments on Ben Azai's comment. You remember in Daf Samach Gimel, Ben Azai said, let someone else have children for me. So writes Taisvus, Ravagav Dimash Reperg Avopi, Shinosa Bito Reb Akiva, even though it sounds like he married the daughter of Reb Akiva. The Gemara tells us Bartish of Akiva of the Lady Ben Azai Hachi on the Parakam the Sayyid did not be Givish. So even if Ben Azai got married, so we have two Terutzim and Taisvus. Either they got married and only had Erisin, which means there's no chance to have children, or they got divorced and they never had children either. But either version, there was definitely a possibility that Ben Azai did get married, and for some reason, either they got divorced, which works out very nice with our Gemara. Ben Azai tried and he said, listen, it's not for me. Nafshi Choshka B'Teira, I can't devote my time to a person, I can't be there. But he never had children. That's for sure. Ben Azai
like
never had
24 years.
I don't know how long. If you want to take the Gemara in Ksubas literally, that means he did the 12 and 12.
People like Hamada did the
Hapa. It's a very long time. But okay, that's just a little bit of a background for a little bit about Ben Azai. Let's get back into the Gemara by us in Kedushin number 16. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Lil Moy Tari Velisi Isha. Person has a question. What should they do? Learn Torah or get married? Says the Gemara, Yilma Torah V'achach Yisi Isha. First you should learn, then you should get married. But if you can't survive without a wife, we'll see what that means in a second. Then you should first get married and then learn Torah. This is what we do. First get married and then learn. The guy's got his stress of panasa on his head, and you expect him to go on Torah. It's not possible. Once he gets married, those days are over. He's focused on his job, on his family. It's not practical. Mm-hmm. So which one do you do? So the Gemara says, "Vloy pligi." There's really no machloekes here. It depends where you live. Hal lahon, v'hal lahu. This is for them, and this is for us. Who's the them, and who's the us? So Rashi says in number 17, "Hal lahon, hal lahu." B'nei Bavel, ha yeholchim v'garsim mishnayis hatanayim beretz Yisrael. This is fascinating from a historical standpoint. At least in the times of the Gemara, according to Rashi, in Bavel, they used to go to travel to Eretz Yisrael to learn. And because they were living outside, I mean, they traveled. Everyone traveled. So if you lived in Bavel and you got married, so you moved to Eretz Yisrael, not with your wife and not with your kids, you went by yourself like a bacher, just a married guy, and you moved to Eretz Yisrael, you were in a dormitory or something, and you stayed there and you learned. Therefore, says Rashi, it's a no-brainer. In Bavel, there's no downside not to get married first. Why, Zak Rashi? Because you're not going to have any stress. The have a beloy here. I'm sorry. Ain't Sarah Chabash Mutalma love.
How are you being kind both of them, though? If you're there and she's here, you're not being kind period.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay. I guess. Ben Azmana, they'd get together. They were very fertile people. It worked out. They go back to Yeshiva. Again, Rashi and Tosfos, this is an interesting point. We'll talk a little bit more about it. They're not coming from the same angle as Tosfos, as the Rambam. When we learned the Rambam last week, we saw the Rambam was learning the Sugya, not so much Hirur or Hashkafic based, but he was looking at it as, which mitzvah do I do? Perivya or do I do Limitayr? Rashi and Tosfos don't talk about that. They're talking about totally different conversations. In their mind, the perk of getting married first is just because if you get married first, you don't have Hirur. And the downside of getting married first is that you won't have time to learn. None of them throws in the equation of Perivya, like the Rambam. The Rambam was the only one who clearly lays out this Knech, at the perk of getting married first, that you can get a mitzvah on the belt of Perivya. Rashi and Tosfos don't even discuss it at all, which is a shtickle tzarechin, why not? But we'll see more about it. So it says Rashi, one second. So what's the perk of getting married first? So the Rambam would tell you, the perk of getting married first is you'll become a mitzvah. Rashi does not say that. What does Rashi say? Says Rashi, the perk of getting married first is now that you'll be able to learn without any thoughts. Then you go learn Torah. The Rashi is not saying a word about Perivya. So you see from Rashi, that wasn't the din in our sugya. The question in our sugya wasn't which mitzvah do I do first. It was a question of which the perk of going to get married first wasn't because now I'll get the mitzvah Perivya. Clearly from Rashi. But according to Rashi, what do you have? In Bavel, the guys used to travel. So therefore says Rashi, if you're not going to be home, so you're not going to have the tzarech habayis. So then it's a no-brainer that you should go get married first. But in Eretz Yisrael, Zagrashi, in Eretz Yisrael, Haloim Dibim Kaimam. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't travel to Babel to learn. They learned local. In Noise Ish, if you're going to get married first, you get tzarech habayis mutol olav. Then you're going to get stuck, bogged down with the family obligations. Therefore, the Vatlu is going to take you away from them.
So once you get married, you chayav and shek susanona.
Right.
So if I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn, I'm not mekayim shek susanona.
Well, we'll see. Tosfos has a similar kasha. Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to talk about this, right? Part of the Terutzim and the Rishonim. Again, it's a fascinating, you'll see how the Rishonim played out based on the economics of that time. We'll talk even more historically up to the last 300 years in Europe, what they used to do. But that's the way Rashi learned the Gemara. Now, Tosfos.
So the mitzvah for Arabia. So what's the mitzvah? Is it the Maisa Via?
Oh, we spoke about
the
this.
The baby being born?
Right, we cleared it. Minchas Chinuch discussed.
Taking care of the child.
Right. So that is... So the Machlokes Rishonim is there a Maisa Mitzvah at all? Is having Bia considered the Maisa Mitzvah that takes 9 months for it to become something? Or is it, that's a Kima Mitzvah. The moment the baby gets popped out, that's the Mitzvah. Even though you didn't do any Maisa Mitzvah.
Right.
It's a Shiloh, it's a big Shiloh.
So the weighing of which Mitzvah do you do first, I mean, one is like a never-ending
Mitzvah. Right.
One
very good.
How long the labor takes, but there's a finite amount of time.
Right, so that's if you learn like the Rambam. If you learn like the Rambam, that's all mitzvah up against mitzvah, then you can start discussing like things like that. And Achorinim do that. Achorinim point out in the Rambam, the comparison is not so fair. Learning Torah to Perivya, first of all, learning Torah is a Maisa Mitzvah. Perivya might just be a Kima Mitzvah. And if you hold that Perivya and just the fact that the baby's born, irrelevant to the act that you did 9 months ago, so then we're not talking about comparable mitzvahs.
Well, usually two mitzvahs. I mean, Yosef Engels, which is
Right. So we talked about the Menachas Chinuch Shiloh about whether or not there is B'chlal mitzvah, a Maisa mitzvah when it comes to Perivya, or maybe there's just a Kima mitzvah. I mean, there is no Maisa mitzvah. There is no act. Now, normally you shake a lulav. Here, you don't do anything. That bia was just a chetimsa to have the baby. The baby's the mitzvah. That's a question that we talked about a little bit.
What makes more practical?
Exactly. Rashi and Tosfos seem to be attacking this strictly practical. You know, the way I like to say it, it's a question in quality or quantity of learning. You know, what are you going to get best? What are you going to do the best? If you get married first, so you're not going to be able to, you'll have, let's say, according to Rashi, you won't have Hirurim, but you won't be able to learn as much. If you do the other way, you'll maybe have Hirurim, but you'll be able to learn more hours. So it's like a balancing act, not in mitzvahs, but in quality of learning. That's what it seems like from Rashi and Tosfos.
The fact that you get married and then you go to Israel for the fact that you learn, that's the end of your horror.
All right, Tosfos Kash. So, Frak Tosfos is number 18.
I think I should do the mitzvah. You don't, it's always a prophet.
Yeah. Right, so when it's the Skala that from this beer the baby came out, so then the Skala, that was the Maisa Mitzvah. That's one side of the Menachas. Yeah. So, let's see Tosfos number 18, Zog Tosfos. Pirish Bekuntris, B'nai Bobel, Holy Holy Gorsi, B'shnai, Satanai, Beretz Israel. The Bnei Bavel used to travel to Eretz Yisrael. They were outside out of the house. Okay, so let's just skip to 18 left corner. Frak Tosfos, because of the time. I mean, the time has two kashas on Rashi. Again, what was Rashi's premise? Rashi's premise was the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael had to do with the styles of learning. not the Lumdisha styles of learning, but where they learned. And Bavo, they would travel, and Eretz Yisrael, they'd stay home. So Taisa has two very basic questions. The Kashal Abedot Tam. The Mashma Dekama Shmuel, the Noisa Isha Tchila, Kdelias Belahira. Shmuel says, get married first. Why? Because the assumption is if you get married first, then you won't have any hero issues. Umuki Lalamilsa Bnei Bavo, and he sets it up that that's the people in Bavo. Imken Akati Iki Hero says, what did you accomplish? You're still going to have hero. Kivichaholchem Lumay Choslum Kaiman. Says, what do you benefit? You tell me that the perk of getting married first is now you won't have hero. Yeah, that's when you're around your wife. But if you're traveling to the other side of the world, and now you're away from your wife, you only come home Ben Azmanim, yeah, how's that going to help you? Solid, good, we'll see. Yeah, now, again, according to the Rambam, this is not Shver. According to the Rambam, that's about Priv Rivya, then this Kash is not Shver. Because the Rambam structured the Sophic of the Gemara about Priv Rivya, not about quality of learning. But this is the way Rashi and Tosfos are learning the Gemara. And again, it's not just Rashi, it's Rashi and Tosfos, almost all the Rishonim, besides the Rambam, are learning the Gemara, like, which is going to give you the best type of learning. But like the Rambam, if it's about Periv Rivya, so the answer is, what do you mean? Get married first, and then you'll be becoming Periv Rivya. Irrelevant to where you'll be or where you won't. But that's Kasha number one, Tosfos says. V'oid Kasha. Now Tosfos has a stronger Kasha. Acha shenosi isha hech yotzachot lom koyma lomit. But Tosfos, how can you get married and leave a wife at home in Bavel and you go to Eretz Yisrael? He says, you have a responsibility to pay for their food. They're fulfilling on themselves. He's referring to those men who leave their families and travel. The pasuk says, you have to take out a mashkin. It's not right. So Tosfos, the second kash is not so much a lomdus. Tosfos' kash is a chutzpah. Which father has the right to have a family and leave them? And leave them unsupported? That's a terrible thing to do. How can you leave your family without supporting them? So Tosfos is assuming in his kasha that they're not self-sufficient and there's no money coming in besides for whatever he has in Eretz Yisrael, and he's taka leaving them empty-handed. So that's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos answers a whole different pshat than Rashi. Says Tosfos, v'nir l'rabbeinu tam, a whole new mahalach in the Gemara. Says Tosfos, let's actually switch it around. Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if you get married, you won't be able to learn. That's Libnei Bavel Deep. He was talking about for the Bavel people. Why? They can't leave their wives. Right? So in Bavel, they would stay, and there was no money. Right? Avada, no one left. You got married, you learned on a local kaila. But people in Bavel were poor. So what's going to happen? You're going to get married, you're going to be around, and you're not going to have any money. That's a recipe for disaster. So then there's no way you should get married first, because in that case, you're going to have no money, you're going to be broke, and you're not going to be able to learn. So why get married first? Now, according to the Rambam, you still should get married first because of Periv Rivya. But there's no perk of getting married first because you're going to get bogged down. Shmuel said get married first. He was talking for the people in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they learn local. And therefore, it's better to learn Torah b'tahara. So, according to Tosfos, the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael was not where they learned, but was who was supporting them. Right? Support is not a new development in the modern 21st century. At many times of the Gemara, they had this concept that there were certain communities. What?
Yochanan living in Eretz Yisrael.
That's the second half of the Tosfos. I didn't get into it. The Tosfos fears us. So how does that work in the Hemshech of the Gemara? Right. It's a good concept. That's right. Everyone's backwards over here. Everyone's passing for where they don't live. But Tosfos' chat is
interesting. Is always passing.
Tosfos' chat is economically logical that in Bavel they were poor. So if you get married, you have to go to work because no one's going to support you. In Eretz Yisrael, they were wealthy. That's how Tosfos learns the sugya. It sounds a little bit like they're arguing on the Metzias, meaning did they or didn't they travel? This is something you go to a history book and find out whether they did or didn't. Even though we'll talk maybe a little later today that even amongst the historians, there's a big machlokes historians if in, let's say, in the 1800s in Europe, what ages were boys and girls getting married? Were they getting married very young or they were getting married like somewhat today? So the machlokes historians also. Some historians say that back then they were getting married as young as 12. The problem with that is it's against the halacha. We'll believe that to get to next week, hopefully at Shulchan Aruch Paskin.
And also, were they even able to be Mekayim Periv Rivya at that age?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see, in Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to get married before 13. Boys before 13. So there are historical evidence that there were boys getting married that young. So we'll have to see if that's actually true, accurately true or not. But there's definitely some tumult amongst the historians that they were getting married that young, even in, 200, 300 years ago in Europe. But let's see. So according to Tosfos, the difference is support. So now the Pnei Yeshua and many of the Acharim, the Pnei Yeshua, the Machne, a lot of the Acharim do not like Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha at all. They're very bothered by Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha. What's Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha? Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha is, how could it be? You're going to get married, then you're going to leave your wife. You're still going to have here. Right? So Pnei Yeshua writes in number 19. He says, V'lo yadana my kosher Rabbeinu Tam. I posha don't know what was bothering Taisus. Taisus has the bomb. Everyone here at this table thought Taisus Kasha was a great Kasha. What do you mean? You're going to leave your wife. You're going to have Eruv. What do you accomplish? Says the Pnei Yeshua, the Havadei Benosu Loi Chashin Alehiru. Says the Pnei Yeshua, if a guy, once he's married, there's no more Eruv. In your Talmud Torah. Says the Pnei Yeshua, a psychological analysis. I don't know if it's proven by doctors, but he says that once a guy gets married, so even if he's not near his wife, he's not going to have Herurim with regard to learning. He says, I'll prove it to you. So I'll prove it to you from Rabbi Akiva. Now, obviously Rabbi Akiva is not exactly the typical person out there, right? I wouldn't exactly put Rabbi Akiva up there as the regular man. You know, the average man is not Rabbi Akiva, which the Pnei Yeshua will acknowledge at the end of the piece. But he starts off saying, we found Rabbi Akiva. Shenishtor kol hani shninin. All those years he was away from his wife. They used to go away 2 or 3 years. Shalabrishus, without consent of the wife. Ubrishus, if the wife consents, come with the boy nasal, as long as they want to go. Vain Shabbatis, the Maisi, Lahadir Akiva, Umidaloicha, she only hear her. Almud Shaper Avdi. Says the Pnei Yeshua, no one had any problems. I hear her. So Taisus wants to say, hearers only existing when you're single. That's why he had a wife, you know. Again, another one. So Tosis is going to. So the Pnei Yeshua's cash is a little hard for us to understand, you know, practical, but.
Not only that, it's an expensive
learning course. Right. Akiva is a little bit of an interesting raya. So the Pnei Yeshua says, so you see from all these Gemaras that there's no problem of hearer. So when is hearer an issue, says the Pnei Yeshua? When you're not married. He says, "V'dafko ki Ashkan Tuva Peralf Bishalchem is the same, but also Kama Shonim is the same. Lo Matayro V'lei Chai Shula Hiru. No one had a problem with Hiru. Hiru is only for single guys. Single guys have Hiru, but married guys, again, that's similar to what we saw about Pas Pasali. It's all the same idea. The Pnei Yeshua just says, I have a riot to this from Gemara's that there's no Hiru when you're already married. So the Pnei Yeshua says, so Taisus Kasha is not a Kasha. Now he doesn't address Taisus the second Kasha. Taisus the second Kasha is still Shver. How do you leave the family? So Ken Zan, they sent money back. I don't know." He got his coil check in Eretz Yisrael. He sent the money back to the bubble. Right. They sent the money back. I don't know. But tell you something, Pnei Yeshua was only dressed in the first class.
You hop
that. Do I understand it? No. I'm not saying I understand it. I'm just telling you what the Pnei Yeshua says.
So Pasasal is when the Pasasal are in the same location. Pasas and Bala.
That's a question. That's Dakar Shaila, how far we take Pasasal. That's a question, how far it goes. But that's the Pnei Yeshua's test. And he ends off at the end of the piece. He says, Mia Rabbeinu Tam Gufa Evshid Mefarish. So what was Rabbeinu Tam thinking? Says the Pnei Yeshua, Evshid Mefarish, Bahach the Perak Alvabi, Bahanach the Kimlu Benavshayu, Deliosi, Heraveru. Meaning all those Amaroim and Tanoim used to travel because they knew about themselves. Meaning they weren't the average man. They knew that they could control themselves. Kireb Akiva, the Chaveru. So Rabbeinu Tam, at the end of the piece, Pnei Yeshua was basically like, and Rabbeinu Tam was looking at the average guy. The average guy is not like Rabbi Akiva and his students. So it's on. He starts off saying, I don't understand what Rabbeinu Tam's kasha was. Then you get to the end of the piece, he's like, well, maybe Rabbeinu Tam doesn't make sense. So like he's back and forth to Pnei Yeshua over here. Do we look at the average man and say, listen, the average guy is not Rabbi Akiva? Or does he know? We see from the Gemara that you can get away with hearer when you are going to learn Torah. Now the Sefer HaMakneh takes it even a step further. He writes, "Umasha hikshua taisus al Rashi daakati hiki hiru kiva shalchem lo mechosam koyim and nira dizel totally bepluktes haramba vahator." This is amazing. This is the godless of being someone like that flow who called Tarakula. He said, "This machloek is Rashi and taisus and kedushin that we just learned is connected to a machloek is Rambam and Tor and Hilchas Beis Akisa." Hilchas Beis Akisa. What does that have to do with Hilchas Beis Akisa? So he writes like this. If you take a look for a second. There's a machloikis between the Mechaber, the Rambam, and the Tor about going to the bathroom. Now, we're not getting into the Salah Chomaisa. You know, we'll keep it very, very, very basic, very simple over here. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, number 21, the Mechaber writes, Yizar, a person should be careful. Shle Ya'echo is Ba'am of Yash. Shouldn't hold on to his Aver when he goes to the bathroom. And they should moisten Sheikh Wazir al-Batol. Because in course, Sheikh Wazir al-Batol. And Loi Ma'atar al-Mat, unless he holds it from the top and below it. Ela im Kein Hunasu. Unless he's married. If he's married, we're not worried. says the Mechaber, Umidas Chasidus Lizar Afilu Anos. It's good even to be frumer, even when you're married, not to hold it, not to hold the aver when you go to the bathroom. Fine, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Writes the Torah, number 22, V'yizor lebal yachas ba'am v'yashtin imloy me'atar ulmato, the tzad ha'aretz, v'afilu imuhunos, even if he's married. Because even if he's married, he still has to be careful how he holds it when he goes to the bathroom. Shulchan Aruch said that what? That if you're married, it's not a problem. The Torah says, no, even if you're married, it's still a problem. So points out the Taz, number 23, he says, the problem is there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, indeed, that if you're married, it's mutter to hold it when you go to the bathroom. Says the Taz, when the Gemara was talking about that your wife is mama, she's with you in the house, right? You're accessible and available. Ashenkin, the fact that you are married and your wife is not near you, that doesn't help. So what does that have to do with us? Says the Sefer HaMakdeh, beautiful. This machloek is Rashi, Rabbeinu Tosfos and Rashi is machloek is Shulchan Aruch on the Torah. Why? What did Rashi tell us? Rashi said that if you're going to leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to have hero. Why? Because we said pas pasale. Frek Tosfos says, well, pas pasale, she's on the other side of the world. So we said, you see from there, the pas pasale works, even if you're not mamash nif. That would be the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that we're not worried about Zerel Vatol because you're married. Ah, your wife is not with you. The wife might be away. You might be in separate places. Doesn't matter. Once you're married, no hero. But the Torah says no. The Torah says the fact that you're married doesn't help you. It has to be that she's mamish next to you. That was the taina of Tosfos. Tosfos' taina was, unless you're going to be right next to your wife or available with your wife, merely being married does not take away any hiru.
Being in another country.
Okay.
That's not a lot, doctor. It could be that he assumes she's with you. Because people that are married are together.
Maybe not. So let's read the Sefer HaMakdeh. Yeah.
You know, but I don't even understand this whole machlekes Shulchan Aruch.
That was my hakdama.
Oh, that's what you said.
I'm trying not to get involved. Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. Because if you're holding your aver, you can't come to Sheikh Vazera. Otherwise, you can't go to the bathroom. It's either or.
I understand. But
so that's what I'm saying. I don't understand the whole machlekes. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the waiver beforehand. So let's just read the Sefer HaMakdeh inside. Talk to Sefer HaMakdeh, number 20. Let's go back. Now we understand. He writes, he says, Nira dezeh toli v'pukdes ha-ramam v'ator b'arachayim s'megim. The Meloshin ha-rambam b'mashma d'benosoi leko b'shum hira kulehai. The Rambam is what we call the Shulchan Aruch. That once you're married, there's no hira. Finish. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Once you're married, there's no problems of Sheikh Vazer. Your wife might not be near you. Doesn't matter. Once a person's married, there's no chash anymore of hirurim, which we will call that Rashi Shita. Tosfos says even if she's another city, even in a different city. I mean, doesn't mean she's mamish sitting next to you the whole minute. Access, you know, she's near, somewhat near you. The Torah leaves it out because of Ataz. The Dafka Kishishta Imayhu Kishitas Tosfos Bekat. And says the Sefer HaMikneh, but the Torah says, even if she's married. Now, with the Taz says it can't be even if she's married. That's against the Gemara. It means even if she's married, but she's next to you. So says the Sefer HaMikneh, this machloik is mechaber, and Torah is the same machloik as Rashi, Taisus, Baos, and Kedush. When do we choishish for, when does Ishto Imoy or Noso Imoy work? And when does it not work? Might be totally in this machloik is Rashi, Taisus, machloik is Shulchan Aruch, and the Torah. Okay, interesting. Again, interesting discussion. Again, it really should be the psyche of a human being or the psyche of the man, but that's the way the Sefer HaMikneh learns it out. Now, the third mahalach in the sugya is the Ritva, number 24. So far, we had Rashi and Tosfos. I told you there's about four or five mahalachim. We'll see four or five in the Rishonim, then we'll see a couple of cute ones in the Acharonim. But the Ritva is the third pshat. This is what I told my wife a couple times, this pshat. She wasn't so happy to hear this one. Says the Ritva in Kedushin, V'yesh Meforshim D'Shmuel Ayri B'Bnei Bavel. Shmuel was talking to the people in Bavel. Shayim amolis the torches achem is in the same. The wives used to go to work. So that's the ritva. This is not just the ritva. The Ran says like this, and we'll see later. The Goyin, the Vilna Goyin, likes this pshat the best. He thought this is the best pshat. That the difference between Bavel and Eretz wasn't the father supporting, but whether or not the girls went out and got a job. Says the ritva in Bavel, the girls used to go out to get a job. So if the girls go out to get a job, then Avadi should get married first. If you're not going to worry about the money, the girl's going to go out to work. Now this part is a little interesting. Rabbi Yochanan in the Eretz Yisrael show you noshe meunagos. The girls didn't a little higher class. They don't want to go out. And then the husbands have to go out to take care of the mezainis. So when I told this ritva to my wife, she had one kash on the ritva. She wanted to know that they work full time or part time. It's a fair time. She wanted to be medayek. She thought that the ritual meant only part time, not full time. So she works full time. So she felt this is not fair. Because even back then, they only worked part time. The truth is, rather, at least from what I see from my the guys in my kol, the chassidim, even the chassidish women who do work, a lot of them do work, they only work part time. They don't work full time. They work by 1-2 o'clock, they're already home for the kids. They don't want to have, you know, babysitters and things like that. They try to work a shorter bridge day. And if you're working in the regular business world, it's very hard to work a short day. But so that was my wife's time in the Ritva. Ken Zayin, even the Ritva, above all, the women only work part-time. They don't work full-time. Okay. Sarachin, you have to know. But this is the Ritva's chat. So according to the Ritva, it's very practical. It's not where you live or who you marry even. Not so much the father-in-law, but it's really totally more on the girls. Now, just from a historical standpoint, in Europe, over the last 300 years before the Holocaust, they weren't using this Ritva. They were using more like Taisus. And the way it was working was that girls that were from wealthier families got married much younger, and the boys were supported by the father-in-laws. That was what was called kest. That was very popular back then, and that was only for the elite and the wealthy, which was only a small portion of the Jewish population. The majority of the Jewish population were poor, illiterate, and didn't know how to learn, so they're not going to go to kollel. Because the kid didn't learn anything for the last 5 years, why should he go to kollel now? So they used to get married later when they had some form of, you know.
Ask that question now.
I still ask that question all the time now. I ask it all the time now. The guy should only go to kollel if he spent the last 4 years learning. Now all of a sudden he wants to start learning now. But just from a historical standpoint, the kollel movement only got started in the late 1800s when most of the father-in-law stopped supporting. What used to happen was, in let's say in the 1700s, so the wealthy father-in-law supported their sons and they moved into their house. That was very typical. They moved into their house and they supported them. And they were studying and they were learning. And those guys got married younger. Because why not? They could, like Tyson told us. Then after a while, the whole world got a little bit more modernized. And the father-in-laws weren't all that interested in supporting the son-in-laws, and therefore there was a need for a kollel. There was never a need for a kollel before then because those who were able to learn got supported, and those who couldn't learn didn't need to go to kollel. But then the father-in-laws weren't so forthcoming with sharing their money anymore, and therefore they had to invent the kollel movement at the end of the 1800s. Then things really flipped the other way in Europe, that girls weren't interested in marrying kollel guys, and many guys were single. That's why the Altamirers were single until the 30s, because girls in Europe were not looking for guys that sat all day long learning. They wanted guys that are more, you know, academic and knew more of the world around them. The Shidduch crisis is the opposite of what it is today. But in any case, just from a historical standpoint, this Ritva was not the typical in Europe. The girls did not go to work so much in Europe. It was more the father-in-laws that had the money. Taka did support their daughters, and that's why all the literature that we have of girls and boys getting married young was usually the wealthy, because they could do it. The poor couldn't do it. A guy who could barely make enough money to support his own family is not going to support a son-in-law at the age of 13 or 14, where it doesn't make any sense. So the wealthy were predominantly the ones who were getting married younger. And
it's
still
the same problem today.
It's the same thing today. Mm-hmm. Today we have the ritzvah. Today the girls can go to work. So girls talk are very driven to support her husband, so she can go out and get a job, go to school, and she can make it happen. But the Tosfos's reality of the wealthy and the poor was definitely the case in Europe before the Holocaust, predominantly in the 1800s. Okay, that's the third pshat in the Rishonim. Let's see a fourth pshat. Taisus Riazokin. On the side of the page in the Gemara, the Taisus Riazokin writes, another chiluk pin bav l'neis Yisrael. He writes, u'mistabra d'ochi pirusha, holohon, sheyitzvenu miskaber aleinu. A new pshat. Not financial, not wealth. No one has it?
Yeah, turn the page. Turn the page. Stop.
Turn the page. It's all there. Turn the page. Sheyitzvenu, right there. Source number one. Yeah, says the what's the difference? Halahon she yetzvenu miskaber alein. For us, Bavel, the Yetzirah overtook us. Halahu, but in Eretz Yisrael, should be terech shem chafetz and b'tayro in Yitzir miskaber aleihem. Taisu Riazakin told him. Says the Taisu Riazakin, the difference is in Bavel, they had a harder time with the Yetzirah. It was a bigger battle. They couldn't be single because it would be harder for them to learn. Therefore, they had to get married first. In Eretz Yisrael, they could control their taiva better.
Okay.
Why is it? My high. Why is it like that?
It's more hush of a place. Tyra is that or it's
so. Taisu Riazakin doesn't say much.
Does he mean that they're from Bavel or the fact that they're
from Bavel? So we'll see. We'll see. Is it the word that you're a national from Bavel? Originally you lived in Bavel. You're a native of Bavel, but you moved to Eretz Yisrael to learn, or vice versa. So the Riazakin doesn't give us any svaris. He just says that in Eretz Yisrael, mitayim shem chafetz in b'tayim. So it sounds a little bit like, well, in Eretz Yisrael they love Tyra more than in Bavel. That's what the simple reading of it sounds like that, which is obviously very derogatory to the B'nai Bavel. So I think the Pshan, the Tezri Azokin, is like the Sefer HaMikne writes. If you take a look at the Sefer HaMikne number two, he says, V'lulei Divreim, he says, without all the Rishonim, Hayinir L'Farash, I give my own Pshat. What's his own Pshat? Based on the Gemara Ksubis. The Gemara Ksubis says, Kol Ador Be'Eretz Yisrael Shorir B'Lei Ovid. Anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's living without sin. Why? Because it's based on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shein hirur avera motzi ela b'leiv haponem min achoch. The Rambam says, we'll see it in a few minutes. The Rambam says, hirur avera only comes to a person's mind when his mind is empty. There's nothing else to think about. So avera pops in. The guy's mind is filled and preoccupied with other things of importance. It's interesting. The Rambam calls it chochma. Doesn't necessarily say Torah, but chochma. Think about something, you know, academic or intellectual. Then there's no room for taiva to bounce around in your head. So therefore, says the Sefer Amak, they're very gishmak. Since we know just being in Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter. 10 kav of chochma came to the world. Tish not Eretz Yisrael. He says, no, it taka cleanses you. Your mind is now so full with chachma, there's no room for hero. And therefore, says the Sefer HaMaktav, now, he doesn't say that that's planned the Tais Riyazakim, but it's Pasha to me. Now we understand the Tais Riyazakim. The Tais Riyazakim wasn't just saying because the boys in Bavel, you know, had a different drive than the boys in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't, you know, wired differently. No, boys are boys. The difference is that in Bavel, they didn't have this Maila of Hira there to sell Machim, and therefore they had more empty space, empty, they had more room for Hira to come in. Ashenkin and Eretz Yisrael, they were more filled up with Torah, and therefore there was no problem for Hira. I don't know if he's going with Rashi. Not if he's going with Rashi, that they traveled. Maybe Bavel had their yeshiva, and Eretz Yisrael had their yeshiva. And Echram, if you tackle with travel from if you travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, then your mind got full. Again, this pshat in the Tais Riyazaka and the Sefer HaMakta, it doesn't matter where you came from. It's where you are now.
The basis for learning a year in Israel, not in the... No,
I'm serious. That's one of the perks of going to Eretz Yisrael. You have the Gemara that says, you know, plus the fact that you're away from everything else.
This is a metaphysical.
Right. Here we're explaining that the way Hashem built it, that in Eretz Yisrael, you get filled up with... Now, I'm not saying you can't fill yourself up in other ways, right? The Rambam writes... You can fill yourself up with chachma, not have hirurim. But in Bavel, it's easier in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Bavel. Then we'll see one last pshat from the Ben Yoyada. This is a good sell, not to move to warm climate. And everyone wants to move to a warm climate because it's Ben Yoyada. Everyone should move to the coldest place in the world, Montreal. There we go. You start building yeshivas in Montreal. Why? He says, Dev Yehuda Mashmul, Ari beBavel. Says the Ben Yoyada, Shmuel was in Bavel. What's special about Bavel? She Eretz Chama. It's warm. The avir shalo hu cham harbe. It's very warm. It's hot in Bavel. So what? The cholchoyim mo'ir ha-taiva shal ha-mizgah. And the heat helps taiva. Okay? L'chein ha-ma Shmuel yis ha-ish ha-kach imoter. That's why Shmuel says you got to get married first. Yishal yibihir avir. Ki kifi ha-teva machma sha-avir cham, because the weather is warm, yechimum lo'odom b'taiva sa-zera yoysa. It's going to create the taiva, the zera, everything's going to start... functioning a lot faster is going to be bad. That's a perk not to move to California, not to move to Florida. Avlo Reb Yoichanan, Ari Beretz Yisrael, Davira Kar. I wouldn't call it exactly cold in Eretz Yisrael, but it's cooler than Bavel, I guess. Ulechein gam zeg atavo shal azera yekar. Therefore, it affects the taiva of the zera. Ve'en kol kach pache penir keri machmas chimo ma'ish hataiva. So he wasn't so worried that the taiva will burn, plus the weather burning, that will cause the zera. So this is a very big push to go to cold climates to learn, not where it's warm, because somehow the heat will affect the taiva and will affect the zera, so it's bad to go to a place of warm. Okay. Yes, not a plug for Florida, no. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that way. That's your shot. I'm not saying that's not a cheap shot. But he's saying because the weather itself, the warm weather, it affects it. Okay. Fine. Let's see one more mahalach over here from the Birkas of Rom. Rom Erlinger, he points out something which we really never got into so much. He points out like this, number 4. He says, "Hamavur mitech pirush Rashi v'Taisus." What comes out from Rashi and Taisus? We spoke about a few minutes ago. The Aval P Shayidei Sheyisa Isha Koydim Yiblo Hiru. Again, the perk of getting married first, according to Rashi and Taisus, is no hero. According to the Rambam, the perk of getting married first is you become mitzvah peri rivya. Mikomakam hechad ayidei the Torah milam mudoi. But if, let's say, for example, getting married first is going to impact your learning, then yesh lahakdim talmud Torah milis isha. Then you're going to be makdim talmud Torah before getting married. So it's a balancing act, right? According to Rashi and Tosfos, it's partially a balancing act. Which am I going to be able to do better? If I get married first, the learning will be better, but I'll have the family to worry about, which is going to lower, let's say, the amount of time I can learn. But the learning will be better because whatever I learn, I'll be below here. That's what I like to learn the Gemara according to Rashi and Tosfos. It's partially a question of quality versus quantity.
When they were asking, so to speak, was it for everybody, or that it was like this is what each person should weigh in their own mind, depending on who they are, where they are.
Correct. Right. Now, these are the pros and cons of making decisions. On one hand, do you say it's better to get married first? If I get married first, I won't have any room. But if I get married first, I'm going to be busy with the family. So you got to balance it out. So it might depend on where you live and who you marry and your wife's working and all these other. Right, you have to know yourself because the Gemara does have a line. Because the Gemara does have a line. The Gemara said if he can't, right, the last thing Gemara was, but if he can't be without a wife, which we'll see what that means in a second, then you should get married first. So the Gemara itself is acknowledging there are people that just they couldn't go that route. But says the Rabbi Avraham Erlinger, he says, "V'chazina d'chi agavno, ain lo lochesh lehir rabba memelo." He says, "I don't understand." Let's say the guy says to himself, "Listen, I can't get married first. If I get married, I'm going to be bogged down. I know myself. I'm going to be fully invested in my family. I'm going to be working full time. It's going to be, you know, I'm not going to have any time to learn." So he says, "That's it. I'm delaying, as we learned from the Rambam. I'm not pushing. I'm not getting married like Ben Azza. I'm delaying." So, right there, Rabbi Avraham Erlinger, and what about all those days that he's going to be behir avir? How he was setting up a guy to be living behir avir. We're telling the boy, listen, you stay in the yeshiva another 3 years and learn all day long. I hear him. Okay. Well, how do you deal with that? So he answers, b'chazin d'chi agav na'im l'lochus l'hiru habam m'meila t'have b'geder oynas. So that's an oynas. What are you going to do? That's an oynas. It's not your fault. So again, any good mashkiach will be like, no, of course you can work on it and, you know, give you a whole musa shmus. But his point is that that's the reality. If this is the way you have to balance out these two choices, so therefore you have to go this route, it's going to be the impact. Good. So we have to talk a little bit. What's the hero in our sugi? So most of us learned the hero is a pshat that he's, you know, he's going to have bad thoughts and that's bad. Maybe causing to be moitzes el batala, things like that. But he's going to turn it. He's going to say, no, the pshat, the hero makes it, then now you can't learn. And we learned, I always learned the sugi. The guy learned, right? It stares your learning. I learned the guy learns 3 times a day, and then when he's not learning, he has hero. And that we say that's an oynus. He's going to come out saying, no. Because every minute he's learning, he's having hero. So then there's no reason to learn. Then it defeats the purpose. That's what he's going to end up saying. So he writes, he says, but if you're a guy, let's say you're going to be supported and you're not going to have to worry. So then what's your hetero? Let me learn first, even though my learning will be with hero, but no, there's no but then. Then you have no hetero. Then you have to get married first because you have no ptoreinus. He's learning that you have a ptoreinus on the hero because you have no choice. I have no other way around learning unless I do it in an oifen while there'll be hero. But he quotes a Rambam. We did not see this Rambam inside last week.
Why is it? It's an either or. You can learn one way, but he's going to have no time to learn if he's married.
We spoke about this many times already. How did Pasha learn this topic of the Gemara? We learned, like the Shulchan Aruch Rav learned, that once he decided, but we learned based on the Biyakiv and the Shulchan Aruch Rav that this guy was going to some form of a program to learn, you know, a bunch of halachas. He's going to like a makeshift smicha program, which he won't be able to be in the program if he's, you know, avad he can learn, he can be kaveitim, but to learn the halachas that he needs to know to be a good shomer Torah mitzvah, that he won't be able to. Right, as a family, won't be able to. Avad he'll be kaveitim. We spoke about this. He'll be mekayim the vigisa b'yom v'layah, but won't be able to be mekayim the second part of limud Torah, which is the, you know, the ideas that call it Torah kula. So this Rambam we didn't see. Let's read the Rambam together. Very interesting Rambam. Hilchos Talmud Torah. We saw the Rambam in Hilchos Pirkei Avot. This Rambam is in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Zok the Rambam. Person should always learn Torah first, then get married. You know what the change in Lashon? He doesn't say anything about you're going to be busy with the Torah HaMazonis. He says, why? Because if you're going to get married first, your mind is not going to be clear. He's not even focusing on the fact that you're going to be at work and you're going to be giving baths and suppers and things like that. Your mind is not going to be the same. But if you're going to be so fatayvud that your mind is not going to be clear for learning anyways, so then you see isha v'akach yomater. That's the Rambam.
I thought the Rambam.
When you're married,
what is that? What about all
people married? What's that? Let's see. Right. The Rambam in Hilchos Pirkei Avot that we saw was focusing strictly on oisik mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Now he's bringing in. Oh, that's right. Zokter Birkas Avram, umivor mitvarav, the gam hach the yitzay miskaber olav. When the Gemara says in yitzay miskaber olav, we learned the Gemara, that means that the guy is so full of yitzhara, he can't function unless he gets married. No, ain't a inyan here in mitzaratzu. It's not the pshat that he's going to be living with here, and we don't want a person living with here. Elo the gam bichi agav na hakol mitzash aideze and libe panelum. The pshat in the Gemara is that if the guy is so, what does it mean in the Gemara? Efshe b'lo isha. It doesn't mean that Eyev Shabbalisha means he's so, every minute he's thinking about a wife. No, he's thinking about a wife, and therefore he's not learning. It all comes back to the fact that he's not going to be able to learn. And once he's not learning, then might as well get married already. Your whole perk is why, because you want to get married first so you can have a learn. But if I'm not learning anyway, if it's staring, if it's disturbing all my learning, then what's it worth? Therefore, says the Bergas of Ram, Ela the Gambich Yagabna Hakom Mitzash Ideza and Liba Pony Lumoit. So says very geschmack. The whole thing is all about whether or not how much you're going to be able to learn. So the moment you're unable to learn because you have the Yetzihara overtaking your mind, it's not worth it anymore. You're not learning anyways. What's your whole hetter? I'm allowed to learn because it's better to learn than it is to get married, because once you get married, you're not going to be able to learn. You're not learning now. What are you accomplishing? You're not learning anyways. Every minute of the day, you're thinking about a girl, so might as well just get married to make it easier. That's the way he learns.
I have to get married.
Right, exactly. Then you're chayav. That's what he says. And now you have to. Now you have to get married because no more hetter.
Relates to reality. That's not how people are. But people think about things sometimes. They compartmentalize.
That's the way
you can't dive. I'm thinking about it.
That's the way we learned Pasha. We learned that Avada. When he's learning, he's learning. It's Ben Astarim, and after Seder is when he's having his hero.
Sometimes during the
right.
Will infect him. And
correct.
Take him 10 minutes. Okay.
All right, so he's going a little bit more extreme. He's assuming that the hero, the Pshat in the Gemara is talking about, the guy, Pasha can't learn. Not get anything done. It's an extreme. Right. I mean, the point is, it's an extreme level of overtaking Yetzirah. But then he fears us number five. He says, "V'yeshloimar oid apiyai Rambam." Then he quotes the Rambam that we saw earlier. What does the Rambam say? "Shekasav ala yosha b'lo yisha." A person should never be single. And you look at all the rebbes and all the big Rosh Hashivas. Even after they get much older, they always get married. Rebbes always. They very rarely stay single. It's an interesting thing. Even though, again, it's not Shal Pervin. These guys are already in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So one pshat is they need someone to take care of them, which, you know, sometimes is why they get married. But sometimes it's like the Rambam says, it's never good to be alone. Sheminog zeh goyo metahari yiseira, gedoyla mikol zois amru yifna atzma yumach shaftoi ledivrei Torah. Says the Rambam, the best cure is to just think about Torah. Yifna atzma yumach shaftoi ledivrei Torah, the yarchiv daite b'chochmo. I told you, there's two things. There's Torah and chochmo. You think about something scientific or something that has some form of wisdom to it. Not only Torah can also protect you from hero. Shei machsheves arayis miskaber, zokte Rambam. Arayis only papa diyed ela belev ponoi menachoch. It's a very famous Rambam. This is, you know, every mashkiach's speech. Only from a heart that's empty from Torah. That's the Rambam says. So zokte berkas avram. Lefiza mavur del oilam talmud Torah hishmiru yoyse gedelim lezish. He says an interesting point. What's the best preventative thing from hirurim? Better than getting married is learning Torah. Be'etzem. As weird as that sounds, but don't tell your wives that, but be'etzem, the best thing is learning Torah. But that's all fine and dandy if the learning is actually working, if you're actually learning. Meaning, if you're in the zone and you're learning Torah, the Torah will taka prevent you from any hirurim. But the problem is a lot of people can't get into that zone. Because of the Yetzirah, they're not in that full-time mode of daitoi filled up with chachma. Therefore, he says, "Imkin ein zel ma'ila gam legabe hero the Torah he hashmira mula v'gdoy l'shmirasa melisa isha." Wow, it's a better shmir than getting married is to learn Torah. Ulechein rak b'misha roya ba'atme iskabros ayetze boifin shein upon the lumot. But the guy is seeing that he's not able to learn, so therefore the built-in protective of Torah is not working. Then he's got to go to the second option, which is to get married. But he wants to learn the Rambam that Avada. The best option would be is full-time learning, if it would be possible. And that would protect all the Hirurim issues. But most of us can't do that. We're not wired that way. And therefore, he says, if you're not going to have the Torah as the Shmira, then you have to get married and use that to protect you below here.
It's really the Gemara, just understood very simply like
that. That's right. He's saying that in a perfect world, if everything is functioning the way it's supposed to, again, which is not for most people, but if a person can have his totally preoccupied with learning, that would, and that's what Benazai did. That's why Benazai was able to say, I have no Yetzirah. Because he had the Torah that protected him. Now, the rest of us can't do that. But Benazir was able to pull that off, and Hitaka had no Hirurim. How could he not have Hirurim? The answer was because he was so Molei Torah, he was able to be a Bolehir, because Torah Be'etzem can be the greatest protector of Hirurim.
Oh, sir. Now, I was waiting the whole time to hear about anything about Odala. And how does Rashi deal with
it? We learned this sugya many times, a couple times. We learned it in Subis, and we learned it in Kedushin. That there's a Machloikis Tanoim. Can you be Michael those things? Right? The Isha can wave those.
She could.
So she waves it. Well, that's what Gemara was talking about. All these cases where the women waved them. The woman said, I have Akiva's wife. Said, go another 12 years. That's Mechila.
That's an Akimba.
Right, so all these cases you're going to have mechila. Now there is a little bit more of a complicated machloekes because rishayim if you could be meichel oino, right? Sharing source are monetary things. Oino the rishayim called tsar de gufa. We talked about this a couple times in different mesechtas that we learned here together. That maybe tsar de gufa meaning oino it's physical pain. Not being together can cause physical pain. Meaning you can't be meichel tsar. No, you can be meichel the payment that comes out of the tsar. But I can't be moichel. I can't allow something to cause me pain. That's not something that's subject to mechila.
Choice.
Mechila is a mominous thing. So if you owe me something, I can waive the financial element. This is not a financial thing. This is a physical thing. You have to spend time with your wife, and she needs that, and she requires that. So it's not so posh if she can waive that. The Gemara lumps them all together. The Gemara says, "Sheerik
says,
why
not?" Always saying like if somebody said, "Hit me," whatever.
Right.
You still would get the advantage.
Right. The concept of mechila only exists when you're talking about something that's financial, monetary. You owe me X and Y dollars. So sherksos, clothing and food, is a monetary obligation. You have a monetary obligation to give the wife X amount of clothing. But
when your mouth,
you see, so they did.
When your mouth, all right, so they went right. You're covered. That's
how can you mouth someone who insulted?
Right. That's the chiddush of being moichel ben adam lechaver type of aver.
It's after the fact.
Yeah, but if they're right, here we're talking about here the Torah structure that you're supposed to give X and Y to wife because she needs this, and now you're gonna say, well, she says she doesn't need it. And this, we discussed this is a big machlokes b'shainim. Whether or not, again, obviously from these gemaras that the Pnei Yeshua quoted, they could do it. If not, Rav Akiva would be in big trouble. But that's a shaila. If you take a look over number six, this has come from the sefer called Chavrusa. Everyone's ever Chavrusa was like before the Masifta came out. The sefer called Chavrusa. Chavrusa is like an art school almost in Hebrew. Without such extensive footnotes. Then the Masifta is even better than that. But in the Chavrusa, the footnotes are sometimes very interesting. Even I'll tell you, I'll be honest, my dilemma, sometimes our school has very interesting footnotes. Sometimes I'll take a look there to see if I missed anything, an interesting footnote on a sugya to see. I'm saying, today you tell people to look at our school, they call you, you know, whatever. You get tarred and feathered. But I always tell my Talmid Yeshiva when they're learning our school in Yeshiva, I said, you check me to see if I got Rabshat in the Gemara. Okay. Let me know if I got it right or not. But yeah, there's some fascinating footnotes. It's kedai always to take a peek there. But in any case, today everyone gets very touchy with these things.
A lot of Russian shivas check because they know that our school is
They find some of these manuscripts they do a fantastic job. They do really do.
But I saw some people writing it.
I'm just saying today you tell people that you tell someone that you're a Magid Shir and you're looking at an article, they'll look at you like you fell through
the rashes that they
exactly. The footnotes are very fascinating.
I found them later on. Good Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
it's a rev in New Jersey.
They have great stuff. And then the footnotes are fantastic. So here's one of the footnotes.
What?
The safer.
No, Art Scroll.
Okay, they have tons of Art Scroll. Has tons of people that write. Oh yeah. So look what he says. So he writes this number six. He writes, "The Rambam v'Shulchan Aruch loy husker achiluk bebnei bavul bnei Yisrael." He points out that if you look in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, no one reads the Gemara Kipshutai like we had. We had a Gemara that differentiated between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, no one talks about that. So he says, "Upirish Agra." If you look in the Gra says, "Shai Rambam Pirish Kipirish Amuva Beran." He thinks that the Rambam holds like the Ran. The Ran is what we saw in the Ritva that it depends on if the wives work or not. Well, the Fichach Kasa. This is what the Rambam writes. V'moisik b'Torah v'tarid ba. If you're busy learning. And you're preoccupied. And you're afraid. Because you don't want to be busy with the financial burden. That was the Rambam we saw many times. So this is the Chavrusa's additional. He thinks, what do you see from the Rambam? The deciding factor is your financial situation. If you can learn and have Parnasa, then you see Isha. That was the truva from the Maram Sheikh. Could be. Right. Question is that makes it a better right. It might make it better so now he can learn more Torah. Now the truth is just in all fair and honesty, the Vilna Gaon doesn't say all of what he just said over here. The Vilna Gaon just writes on the comment of the Ran, he says, I like this chat. Now the truth is you don't have to only limit the Rambam to the Ran. The Ran could still work with Tysus. Because according to Tysus, it wasn't whether or not the girl works, it was whether or not the parents are going to support. So that's still true today. So when the Rambam says, the way he learns the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch, that at the end of the day, it all depends on whether or not someone's going to support you. So yeah, that could either be the girl or it could be her parents. or your parents, whoever's gonna support. So the reason why the Rambam doesn't mean mechavek in Bava Netzo, because Bava Netzo were just examples; they weren't the actual pshat. The actual pshat is it depends on your financial situation. So that's what the Rambam basically says. If learning, if getting married means you're not going to be able to learn because you're going to have to work, then don't do it. If you can get married and still live, how are you going to live? Well, either your wife will work, or you'll take a part-time job, or your parents will support you, whatever the case is. So it's not a muchach that the goyin only works according to the Rambam. I don't know why he doesn't think, the goyin doesn't say all this, but I think you could still plug in the Rambam to Tosfos also. Correct.
Rambam doesn't match the hero. It's just the mitzvah.
But that's what he has in Talmud Torah. He brings that up. In Talmud Torah, he addresses that earlier. Now, one last thing on this sugya, because then Belina, the next week we'll move on. A very cute var from the Chiddush HaRim. You have to end off with a var from the Chiddush HaRim. Right? Everyone's been to an office, right? What do? They throw things at the chasm. And you ever wonder why they do that?
He's an idiot.
So let's see. Zakta Stay Safe. This Sefer is great. Stay Safe was written by a very wealthy Baal Bosch in Bar Park. Wealthy Gevir put together a very nice sefer. So he writes, "Mashenoygim shachosan oilu l'toyer b'shabbos koyd machasim." Right, that's a halacha already. That's brought down in Paiskim that the ofrof is the oilu gets the aliyah. Ubishosh oilu toyer matilin ova goyzim ushkedim kinoy. They throw at him walnuts and other types of nuts. Hatam ki odom shenoy siyishim mikabel of ol parnosu. Because when a person gets married, he now has the responsibility to support his family. K'meshi kaz v'chazal rechaim atzavor like Yechanan time. Now, that might depend on where you live, but okay. But Rabbi Yechanan said that once you get married, now you have the responsibility of pranos. V'taninim esekos aviz. It says in aviz, peregimu, mishu mikabal of old Torah. Once a person is mikabal himself, old Torah, ma'avirim imenu ol machos v'old echers. Then we remove from him all the other oilos that he has, and he only focuses on learning. In Cain, says the Chiddush HaRim, ma'arunloi be'eth aliz Torah, which we show this guy when he goes up to learn, he gets up to the aliyah, be'im shikabal of old Torah. If you accept upon yourself the yoke of Torah, yazmullah Hashem isbarach, panasas benachal, then you won't have to worry about all the other things. And like the agoiz mushkedim, shekdila me'atzma, they go on their own. So you're not going to have to worry about parnassus. So when you throw that goyzim at the boy, you say to him, if you tackle a mekabel ol Torah, you won't have to worry about all parnassus.
Well, also, maybe the Yakarish Baruch will throw
a parnassus. Right, he'll chef you parnassus. I don't know where the candy came out. You look at the times of the Gemara, they used to have, my brachas tells us, they used to walk on like wheat after the chasa, they used to throw rice, like the goyim do today, throw rice. But this is a very cute word from the Chiddush HaRim. Because be'etzem, once you get married, you're supposed to be focused on parnassus. But if you tackle a mekabel ol Torah, say you tackle, don't have to worry about all upon us, and that's why we throw the shkedim at the chasim. Okay, but next week we'll go right, and then we're gonna have Bli Nedar. I think in 2 weeks we're gonna have a shir on Purim, because since Purim, the Sunday before Purim, Mitzvah Hashem, we're gonna discuss a sugya that's actually related to the sugya we're learning now. How can you find the sugya Megillah that's related to our sugya? We're gonna discuss the shaila about whether or not Megillah is a form of Talmud Torah, the Gabin Vatan Talmud Torah, the Pius Megillah. So Bli Nedar will do that sugya. It's Sunday before Purim.
Anyone that wants to listen to this, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.